Good morning and greetings from your partners, your missionaries serving in Greece. Dear friends, pastor, elders, mission committee members, thank you for the generous invitation to open this morning the scriptures with you. Thank you for your partnership from 2009 in our lives as a family. With your support while three boys were still with us. Somebody asked me how came and you connected with our church. He was a pastor from Single Mountain Bible Church, Dr. Phillips, who called your pastor, Pastor Doug, here. They were friends from Dallas Theological Seminary. And he had been with us in Greece, and he came back, and he was very excited. And he called your pastor here and said, look, this is a new missionary. He was a pastor before. Now he's a missionary. He has no supporting churches. We love him here. We are the first church, and I think it's a blessing for you to be the second church. So we came here in the midst of you a Sunday morning and instant love with your pastor and everybody of you. You liked us a little bit, but we loved you very much and we felt at peace and we feel like we are at home, our home church here in the United States. So we thank you for your support all these years. And unless I forgot, I need to tell you now, those of you that you have older cards of us are expired. And we have a free update now. Please get that from the table. And those of you that you don't have any previous cards, with no initial cost, you can pick up the new card. And this, there is all of us there, and there's something a little about my ministry and Dina's ministry. And also you can get something about Dina's ministry in this leaflet while you are exiting. Thank you for your partnership with my preaching and teaching ministry in the Greek Bible College. With all your prayers, we try to find always new means of preaching through media, through YouTube now. Thank you for considering Mark and Anastasia as your missionaries among the Gypsy children. Thank you for the youth team that you sent. You had such a fun, it was such a blessing this past summer. And got involved with Eric and Haras Community Festival in the church planning there. Thank you for a couple of teams of women that you sent and you served in our houses, two houses at Community House Damaris. Thank you for your generous love offering. 5 years ago, this was the seed money that we bought a lunch, and this money now, this seed money become a strong tree, our first own house that is becoming true. So you see here is when, this is the first lights, when in early June we have the pastors, all the pastors from Greece came and prayed over the land. And here is your team that visits and prayed over the land. I don't have a picture of them visiting the land. This is my office. But then after that, they went and they visited there. And here is, we thought, we are helped by Cornerstone, another foundation with this similar name also contributed. So here is finally, we had another group of pastors and we had a cornerstone placed. So then the building came on. And so then we have the digging. This is all, you know, when your team came, the land was not touched. So from that time, back in June, a lot of things, a lot of progress. So first was the digging for the foundations. And then we have the concrete there. And then the ironing. And then the first floor. Here is the board of Damaris visiting to see the progress of the project. And we have then the concrete from the second building. And then finally, 2 days before I came here, everything closed with the bricks and now is ready for the plumbers and the electricians to step in. This will house 8 ladies with their children and will be a space also for a couple living with them. And this time we plan that according to our needs In our present house, we have 8 ladies with and 5 babies in 2 bathrooms. We have only 2 bathrooms. So just imagine how is that issue there. This one here, its room, it's big enough for a mother and a child, and also has its own bathroom. So this will solve a lot of headaches for us. So thank you for the blessing. Thank you for giving when was nothing. And now praise the Lord with us that is something is happening. And the Lord is, if He keeps sending us some money, will finish very soon. So thank you for that. I'm very happy to see the theme of this missions conference, the advancement of the gospel. The advancement of the gospel. But we need to remember what is the gospel. That somebody disadvanced in order for us to advance. Somebody became poor for us to become rich. Somebody died for us to become alive again. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us sacrificially. So we need to think when we think the concept of advancing the gospel, because the gospel in itself takes a lot of sacrifice for this advancement to happen. For me, this theme takes me directly to the passage that we'll investigate today, this morning, from Philippians 1, chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Philippians chapter 1, from verses 12 to 14. You may ask, why as a Christian I face so many problems and difficulties that hold me back from any ministry? Why the social pressure and the discrimination in my life is such a hindrance in my witness? These questions and other questions like that make presumptions that Apostle Paul would not agree. And I will tell you why. In the passage we will study, Paul describes for the Philippian believers his circumstances that he was in and the effect that these circumstances had in his ministry. In other letters also of Paul, we find references on his struggles and difficulties. But the references we have in this epistle are very extensive. Paul wants to present to us how he's dealing with his problems, his difficulties, as an example for us to follow in our lives. In this way, indirectly, he gives us the miracle of the advancement of the gospel. This is the title of my sermon. The miracle of the advancement of the gospel. What is this miracle? The gospel advances under any circumstances when you witness for Christ under all circumstances. I will say that again. The gospel advances under any circumstances when you witness for Christ under all circumstances of your life. Apostle Paul starts this letter after the greeting and the introductory prayer. Paul now proceeds to tell his news, which becomes an occasion for us to open his heart and see his thoughts, his joys, even his fears. This part of the letter begins and closes with our conference theme, as we have references to the advancement of the gospel. It begins with advancement of the gospel from Paul's imprisonment at verse 12, and runs through and closes, ends with advancement of the faith of the Philippian Christians at verse 25, which you will examine with Pastor Peter, who is preparing to launch a new series on the expositions in this letter. I hope this is not a top secret mistake, a secret. I'm spoiling a surprise here? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, he might change his mind. The verses we are going to study look like they're taken out from Paul's personal diary. We see in them what the great apostle was thinking about his difficult situations. Although the apostle was imprisoned many times, now things look very dark. Because he's no longer in a regional prison, but he's in Rome, and he awaits a hearing from the ruthless Emperor Nero. So I pray today that we'll find in these verses the key that could turn my own struggles into blessings, my own problems into joys, your own struggles into blessings, your own troubles and problems into joys. I will read verse 12, and I want you to see my point. What is the point before I read the verse? The advancement of the gospel is the unexpected result of your difficulties in your life, providing that those hardships will not silence you. Verse 12. I also want you to know, brothers, that the things that they have happened to me have resulted in the advancement of the gospel rather than the contrary. Paul knows that the dear brothers in Philippi are worried for his safety. Although these brothers were asking how he is doing, Paul instead tells them what is more important for him. He does not mention his personal needs or his hardship at this point, but the result of his troubles. He changes the subject from his hard circumstances that the Philippians are asking to the good news of the advancement of the gospel as the result of his trials and his tribulations. For Paul, what counts is not that he suffered, but that through what he suffered, the gospel advanced in the lives of the people that he came in contact with. So, I think at this point, Paul, even if you could choose his circumstances, now that he knows the outcome, I think he would choose prison again to praise God and serve him in this way. Perhaps the believers in Philippi were distressed that the gospel is now in retreat, that all the progress of the gospel are halted by the imprisonment of Paul. Thus, Paul writes to them to assure them that what they thought were obstacles and difficulties, in fact, helped in the furtherance, in the further spread of the gospel. His imprisonment, which seemed to be a hindrance to the spread of the gospel, turned out to be a great boost to the gospel. So what Paul writes here is exactly what he wrote to Timothy. I suffer to the point of being imprisoned like a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. Paul was a strategist. So he had for years in his heart the desire to go in Rome and preach the gospel because Rome was the center of the world at that time. But instead of going as a free man, as a preacher, he went as a prisoner after a terrible sequence of unfortunate events. First of all, he was illegally arrested in the Jerusalem temple. I could hear his voice. Why, Lord? Then the Jews wanted to lynch him, thinking that he desecrated the temple with Gentiles. Why, Lord, this to me? The Romans thought he was some Egyptian wanted rebel. What in the world is happening, Lord? For 2 years, they kept him illegally in prison, thinking that would make money out of him. Lord, it would be better for the ministry to be free, isn't it? Would it be better for me to be free? Finally, he appeared to Caesar, and he was sent to Rome. the ship on the way, due to a severe storm, goes under. Seriously, Lord? After 3 months in Malta, he finally arrives in Rome. Come on, Lord. Do your move, at least now. He was confined in chains for at least 2 years there, awaiting trial and judgment. Lord, you must be joking. I thought I had an important job to do, not lose all this time in prison. This terrible sequence of unfortunate events, instead of making him give up preaching, instead of making him bitter with God, instead of wanting him to renegotiate his contract as an apostle with the Lord, became a source of joy, because he finally starts to see the results around him. Thus, Paul calls now the believers in Philippi, instead of worrying about him, to glorify God and rejoice with him. Paul was not motivated by his success, by his economic or social progress, but by advancement of the gospel of Christ. What motivates you, brother and sister? Paul's joy was not based on his good circumstances, but on God using his terrible circumstances for the advancement of the gospel. What gives you pleasure, joy, my brother, my sister? The prison became a pulpit for Paul, and the chains opened new doors of ministry for him. In the year 1675, in Bedford, England, the famous Puritan preacher and writer John Bunyan was arrested for preaching publicly without a license from the king, and he was jailed for 6 months. Previously, he had spent 12 years in prison, during which time he had written many books and tracts and pamphlets. So, rather than see this new imprisonment as a great tragedy, he took a very optimistic view of it. He is reported to have said, "I have been away from my writing too long. Maybe this is not so much a prison as an office from which I can reach the world with Christ's message." Many times, dear brothers and sisters, God allows circumstances in our lives that are not pleasant for us. But if we stand in His grace, bearing witness to Christ under these circumstances, then these circumstances become suitable circumstances for the advancement of God's gospel. The gospel advances under any circumstances when you witness for Christ under all circumstances of your life. Whether you are going through financial problems or economic growth, whether you are sick or healthy, whether you are at home or at work, at school preparing or busy in retirement, where you are on vacations or shopping, where you're traveling on a cruise or confined to your home, under all circumstances, you are called to be a witness for Christ. This is a mission conference, and mission starts with you in Lilyburn. The mission conference should not start in focus in very far country like Athens in Greece and fades away in the jungles of Amazon. It starts with you and relates to your everyday. For this reason, when difficulty comes, do not say that God has forgotten you. No. He's increasing your voice. When you are bound in chains, do not say that you cannot longer fit for Christian service. No. In fact, He's increasing your reach. When I was confined one day a week for 10 weeks at a chemo treatment day center, at a lazy chair, with a medicine to be admitted in my vein, endlessly, drop by drop, I was not there alone. I had a captivated audience next to me, six or more other patients sitting in chairs like me in similar medication. Do you think I had such an opportunity again in my life to talk to these people about the hope we have in Christ? I had a second opportunity to talk to other patients when non-Hodgkin's lymphoma came back 4 years later. But I knew my role and my mission at those chairs. This difficult experience brought my privilege. So when I speak now to cancer patients, they are hearing me out. They are not dismissing me. They want to know how I trust Christ when in my home, besides my warring wife, I had 3 boys who were waiting, 16 years old and 14 years old and 7 years old. They want to hear from me and not from you if you have not been through such an experience. The same was true for me as a cancer patient. I was not hearing the truth from you that you have not been through such an experience, but I wanted to hear the truth from those of you that you have been through such an experience. So, my brothers and sisters, even the most difficult hassle can become a divine opportunity for Christian witness. Why I say that your difficult circumstances can become great opportunities to witness to Christ? Let's read together the verse 13. Since my imprisonment for the sake of Christ became known to the whole praetorium as well to all the rest. Here Paul doesn't speak about his imprisonment, but he speaks about his bonds in Christ at the ancient Greek text. Paul considers his bonds an identification with the passions of Christ in the world. If Christ was persecuted and crucified, it goes without saying that his apostles will also be persecuted and imprisoned. And what about his disciples? From Abel to Stephen, and from Stephen to today's martyrs of the extremist Muslim regimes, the kingdom of darkness attacks those who belong to the kingdom of God. So, my brother and sister, when you taste belittlement or mockery or social persecution because of your faith in Christ, get encouraged. This is a sign that you belong in Christ's kingdom. Praetorium was the imperial palace in Rome, and praetorians were the elite aristocratic guard, military soldiers in the capital, unique in privileges and power. The praetorians remained in history because they had the power to raise the emperor or take down the emperor. There were 9,000 praetorians in Rome. And we can assume that every 6 hours, one of them changed shifts and guarded Paul. That means 4 soldiers a day for 6 whole hours every day for 2 whole years. They have to put up with Paul's preaching. No, not him again. One more time and I will accept his gospel. It was precisely for this reason that Paul was happy. His bonds became an opportunity to preach Christ to the praetorians, an opportunity that you would not have had if you cannot be free. How great was the joy of Paul that he could write at the end of this letter, "Greetings from those from Caesar's house, Actually, he says, those from Caesar's house embrace you. A little church was created in the palace of the emperor and said greetings to the church of Philippi. What a triumph for the kingdom of God against the kingdom of the darkness. Paul may have suffered at the hand of the Caesar, but the Lord Paul serves is greater than the Caesar. The imprisonment of Paul proved to be the Trojan horse of the kingdom of God, with which the gospel of Christ entered the emperor's palace. What a great encouragement this was for the recipient of this letter, back to Philippi, who lived in a Roman colony suffering persecution. Although the believers were being persecuted by the emperor's representatives in Philippi, nevertheless, the gospel marches in the Roman emperor's house, and the gospel is invading the Roman palace. Perhaps you too, my brother, my sister, have some change in your lives. Perhaps you say, I would like also to serve Christ, but I'm bound, I cannot. I'm a mother with small children, I cannot do anything, I cannot step out of my house, I'm old, my legs cannot hold me, and many other boundaries that we have. In my 20s, as a young man in the church, I knew two elderly brothers who were blinded by diabetes and who was amputated both their legs, and they were confined in wheelchairs. One would say that their bones were such that they could not do anything for the kingdom of God any longer. And yet, these bonds became a blessing to all who saw them in this state in the church, praising God. They were seated at the last row, one chair there, the other corner was his brother. They were sitting, and you were entering the church and you would hear their praising God. What a blessing for us. They became one more reason for us, back then young people, to marvel with God, to be amazed with His gospel, as we're hearing their praises. How these people can praise God? You know, in this condition, I could not think of that. Do you see your circumstances as opportunities for the advancement of the gospel? Or you see only chains and prisons? Can you rejoice in what God can do through you in your circumstances instead of complaining about what God has not done for you? The gospel advances under any circumstances when you witness for Christ under all circumstances. I hope you saw in verse 13 that Paul tells you that your difficult circumstances can become great opportunities to witness to Christ. But in verse 14, let's move on. Paul gives us a second reason why his bond helped more to the advancement of the gospel. I read verse 14. And also, most of the brethren, because they have placed their trust in the Lord, thanks to my bonds, they dare more fiercely to preach the word of God. Wow. Did you get the second reason? Your difficult circumstances can become a blessing and an encouragement to your brothers and sisters. Paul's bonds had a beneficial effect, not only to the people that are hearing the gospel from him, but also to the church. This is the second reason why Paul is happy about his bonds, because he inspired the church to go out with determination and preach the gospel. Most of the Christians in Rome, seeing Paul chained, gained more courage and boldness and began to preach Christ more openly. You might have expected that Paul's imprisonment would discourage the churches. Well, you guessed wrong. The entire church, trusting Christ, now put out publicly to proclaim the gospel with courage and boldness. And you ask why you repeat courage and boldness. Such boldness and courage were necessary for the church in Rome, since the political climate was deteriorating and they were about soon begin to experience the brute hostility of Nero. I have seen in my ministry, my difficult circumstances can become a blessing and encouragement to my brothers and sisters. You know, I teach at the Greek Bible College, the future pastors, church planters, missionaries, youth pastors, workers of grace ministries. What do you think? My students want to hear about my doctorate, about the books I wrote, about my successes, if I had any? No, no. They are blessed and encouraged to know about my life struggles, my ministry failures, my personal weakness, my insecurities as a hope to be pastor and as a hope to be later on missionary. I tell them about my disability to talk publicly as a teenager because of my stutter predicament. I tell them about my dyslexia with which I battled my whole life. I will tell them about the people that didn't like me and reject me and attack my ministry. I will tell them about my ignorance as I was starting, my naivety in church politics, my failures in spite of my best intentions. They love me for those stories. They're encouraged by them. My hardship become a blessing and encouragement to my brothers and sisters in the Greek Bible College. You know that my wife has founded and he leads Community House Damaris that serves sex trafficked girls in Greece. We saw the video. Your church have sent several lady teams to work with Dina, like Sue and Wendy and others before that. What do you think is the one thing we insist as an advice that we give to American ladies that come to work without broken and traumatized girls? What is the one thing we say? We say to them, talk to our girls about your difficult situations that you could not face, and God helped you with His grace. This is what they want to hear. Find your trauma and share it. Remember when you were in anxiety, when you were broken, when you were desperate. Connect with your need and your vulnerability. Tell them when you were needing God's grace to make it. This is what they want to hear from you. If you cannot tell it, if you cannot tell them, you cannot help them. If this is not something you can tell them, you cannot help these girls. And the same is true with you, my brother and sister. If you cannot tell around you when you were weak and God helped you, then you will not help them in their difficulties. Your difficult circumstances can become a blessing and encouragement to the people around you if you only speak about them. We like to be self-sufficient. We manage all, we can do all things, and you know, we are strong. We love that. This is not true. I thank God for His grace in our lives. So this is what we need to share. This is what we need to be speaking about. The gospel here was not seen by the Philippians as the sole responsibility of the apostle. The church did not say, let's get a new apostle to preach to the people. No, the gospel is the responsibility for the whole church. It would take the whole church to preach the good news to the whole world. The gospel is not responsibility of the pastors and the church staff, of the missionaries. It is your responsibility. It will take you to get the job done. It will get you to win the world missions. We are not talking about your money now or your prayers, things that are essential, very important for our ministries, for the advancement of the gospel. No, no. Now we're talking about your witness, and we cannot do without it. Paul was in chains, and yet, he had such great ministry in the Praetorium. Just imagine what happened when the whole church of Rome, without chains, caught fire for the gospel of Christ. So this is my prayers for you, brothers and sisters, to go out, caught fire, and tell the message. Preach it, witness to it, tell the others all around you. Paul did not say, well, now I'm in prison, what I can do? The church did not say, now things are dark, let's wait a little for a better government or a better situation. The gospel advances under any circumstances when you witness for Christ under all circumstances of your life. So, dear brother and sister, do not mourn your difficulties. See them as opportunities. Do not insist on seeing what God did not do for you and now you have found yourself in this difficulty. Focus your attention on what Christ can do through you under these circumstances. Do not just think about yourself, but think about how you can be a blessing in these circumstances to others, inside and outside the church. If, like Paul, you face this, your difficulties with strength and grace from God, this becomes a blessing to your brothers and sisters. They are encouraged as they see that God can keep you by His grace in these circumstances, that the Lord helps you face whatever He allows in your life. This is a very important witness. So your problems should not close your mouth and your witness to Christ. Your problems is great opportunities for the world to see how genuine your faith is and how deep your faith is. Our problems identify us with other people. And people listen our message better because what we have been through. Have you no eyes to see how God can turn pain into blessing, sorrow into spiritual joy? 26 years ago, my third son, Erastos, was born with four problems in his heart. It's called Fallot tetralogy. When he was one, he had his first open heart surgery in England. The agony, the despair, unite Dina and me with a special bond of thousands of parents that have been through similar situations. The following years, our phone rang countless times from desperate parents from all the corners of Greece who want to hear from a parent who went through this same experience. 8 years ago, you prayed for Erastos again for his valve operation when he was 18 years old. Thank you that you partner with us even in the difficult times. And I want to report to you that Erastos is doing fine, not only physically, but also spiritually. He now works part-time in a mission to the refugees, and as of this week, he's starting working part-time in a chess plant, in music, and in other roles. But that experience was horrible. In England, the baby next to us, with the same problem, operated the same day by the same doctor, died the second day that Erastos had the operation. Years after the event, this is the reason, this is a story I have never told from a pulpit. I get emotional. Years after this event, I was serving the youth in a summer camp up in the mountains when I received a call from a total stranger. His son, a baby who had Fallot tetralogy, died, and he wanted me to do the funeral. But why? You have a pastor. There are plenty of great preachers in the city. Why me? That you have never met me, that you have never heard me preaching. Because you can understand us. You agonize and you feared losing your son from the same condition And you are the only one who knows how this feels like. It was the response. Not because I preached well, not because of any goodness in me or any strength of mind, but because of my weakness and past pain. So this is the miracle of the progress of the gospel. The gospel progresses when Christ is preached, regardless in circumstances and persecutions. The gospel of Christ advances when we witness for Christ in all our lives, even in the most difficult conditions and persecutions and sorrows. The gospel advances under any circumstances when you witness for Christ under all your circumstances of your life. Do you live for Christ? Do you witness for Him? Through all your circumstances? If I witness for Christ at every opportunity, at every occasion, then the gospel will advance all around me. The same will become for you also. The gospel will advance in your life when you live and preach Christ in all your life. If this word this morning is my mission report to your church from Athens, I want to add one more sentence. The gospel advances in Greece, but not because of us. It advances in spite of us. The gospel advances because in our weakness and vulnerability, we still need God's grace as much as the people we are witnessing to. We need God's grace in our circumstances and in your circumstances. As much as my friends and your friends, my neighbors and your neighbors, that we and you are witnessing to. The gospel will advance farther in your life when you witness for Christ in all your present circumstances. May the Lord bless us all. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you this morning for our brother's courage to come up here and share his weaknesses, because in his weaknesses you are glorified. Lord, I pray for all of us here and watching online that you would help us have the same response, to see our difficulties and trials as a blessing and an opportunity to advance the gospel. We worship you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.